Welcome to 51 First Dates.
I'm Liza.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are doing an experiment.
And talking about dating.
And love. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Cheers!
Cheers!
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to 51 First Dates, the podcast. I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Liza.
And this is a podcast about dating, about a dating project that was successfully ended, about a new dating project from a male perspective. What else is it, Liza? What is our pitch? Is it getting better?
It's about dating.
Yeah, it's about dating.
Did I add a lot to that? No, I think that it's about, like, especially early stages of dating. It's about first dates. It's about worst first dates. It's about weird dates. It's just a place for all of us to hang out and talk about how dating's horrible.
Yeah, because it universally is a horrible thing that we all do. Well, we don't all do, but we do. Many of us listening to this podcast do at some point in our life. And, you know, we started out with me going on those 51 dates. I only made it to 32, but, you know, that was a lot of dates for me. So we're here to commiserate. If you're new, welcome. Start at the beginning if you want to hear about the adventure and hear me cry more than I do now.
Did you ever cry? I feel like you didn't. Maybe you did.
I thought early on I, like, cried a couple times or maybe just was, like, deeply depressed. Okay. I feel like
– I mean
– maybe I did.
Guys, this is a good pitch to go back and listen to early episodes and let us know if Kimmy ever cried.
Did I cry? Probably wasn't feeling comfortable enough to cry, but definitely was crying on the inside. And, you know – We're just here. Thank you for coming back. If you're not a new listener, you've heard us give this spiel 1,000 times. And we thank you for listening, for rate, subscribe, reviewing, for emailing us and DMing us about how you would come to a live New York show this summer, which is very fun. Keep reminding us because we're so darn nervous about it. We need your names. We need, like, your emails. We need to, like, make sure that you show up. Like, we're too nervous.
It's truly, I can't believe I'm about to make this comparison, but I am currently, as, like, a good little, like, liberal millennial New York woman, listening to Michelle Obama's book on audiobook, which is incredible, and I would recommend it. It's really, really inspiring. She's such an amazing woman. But she talks about how at the night that – I don't remember which event it was. I think it was the election night. She, like, had a feeling that – oh, no, sorry. It's when – Barack was going to announce his candidacy. She was like, I feel what I always feel when I'm hostessing, that no one's going to show up.
Yes, like, exactly.
I was like, I'm glad that even Michelle feels this way. Although for us, it's, like, way more true than for the Obamas.
Because so many of you show up with your ears every week, and we are so grateful. And, you know, I almost called it a community. Oh gosh, that's really annoying of me. But, you know, our little circle of listeners are all joining the Facebook group. Like, you are all growing with your ears, but we're worried that your bodies won't show up because we get it, because we don't like showing up for things either. So it's hard.
Okay, so I actually had a really important thought about this. I can't believe we haven't thought of this before. I'm pretty sure it's brilliant. I think we need to call our listeners gems.
Oh, our gems. You're our gems.
Our gems. Because we always, okay, if you're new, we always call, like, when someone goes on a date with, like, a good boy / man, we call them a gem. Like, if they're, like, a good person.
Or woman, or whatever. Kimmy's, but, like, usually women are great, and sometimes men are just.
Yeah, completely. You know. But, like, a good person is a gem. So I feel like we need to start calling our listeners gems instead of french fries.
Yeah.
Or both.
French fries of the pod just didn't have the right ring to it.
I mean, I still love it. I think we can just use the two interchangeably, but
I prefer gems. You are all welcome, gems.
Welcome,
gems. Sparkling gems. You are gems, and you're expensive.
I had this realization in, like, a blaze of glory the other night when I was, like, kind of high and scrolling through the secret Facebook group, which I do a lot, guys. So thank you for being there.
Thank you for being there. It is popping off. So many good questions. I keep wanting to read them. On the podcast.
Completely. I think by the time this episode airs, we'll basically be at – we're almost at 1,000. We're really, really close to being at 1,000. Guys, if you haven't joined yet, please go to Facebook. Join our secret Facebook group. You can just type in 51 First Dates Podcast Secret.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll pop up, request to join. Someone will immediately approve you. And then you'll be in our Facebook group. And it's a really wonderful place where people, like, vent their frustrations, ask questions, share bad date stories – just ask random stuff. What's a good bar in this city to go to on a date? It is usually dating related, but it doesn't always have to be. We love it there. It's, I think, like, the best and most, like, nice and supportive community on the entire internet.
Yeah, I wish it was bigger when I was going on the dates. I don't know if it was, but like, or even if I wasn't having a podcast and going on dates, it's a really nice place to go vent like after your date, especially because if you're, I don't know, depending on where your friends are at or if you don't necessarily, especially if you don't have friends, but if you don't have friends or if you don't have friends that you like want to vent about that too because you either feel like they don't relate or you do it too much to them or blah, blah, blah. This is a group of women and men who are all, you know, there are no bots in there that are going to troll you. It's all like, you'll see. You'll get in there, you'll vent about something, and everyone will make you feel better. That's how I feel when I read some of these. So
it's good vibes all the way. So please join it. And you can also follow us on Instagram at 51FirstDatesPod. You can email us at 51FirstDatesPod@gmail.com. Please email us your worst first date stories, your questions, your suggestions for topics. We love getting your emails. We love getting your DMs on Instagram. We love hearing from you in every way.
Yeah, we do. Which brings us to, so our layout for our episode today, I'm just going to kind of take us through it because it's a little bit less traditional than the others. Kenny, our new dater, is not on today. He will be back soon. I am no longer dating, but my friend, I'm getting my MBA in Los Angeles, and my friend from business school had a first date on Valentine's Day of this year. So we recorded this a little while ago, but we just didn't get around to like getting it on an episode because we had to record in kind of a short span of time, and it wasn't a complete episode. So Liz and I had it on the back burner. It's a really funny, very LA story, I would say, like the most LA one date on Valentine's Day could get. And yeah, thank you very much, Robin, for, you know, coming on the pod. That was very fun.
It's hilarious. It's a really, really funny story. Yeah, I'm excited for you guys to listen to it. It's fun.
And then we were thinking about how to kind of like round it out. And I guess it sort of relates to the date, but not exactly. But basically, a lot of these awesome emails we've been getting, or not a lot, but a group of them have dealt with kind of dealing with dating and money, whether it's who pays or just dealing with dating people from like different backgrounds than you are financially, if that makes sense, or like who care about money or who don't care about money, because that it's like not a cool thing to talk about, but it's a thing. Like some, like, yeah, you'll see this basically the reason we're trying to make it a segue to Robin's date is just because this guy kind of really cared about money, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that like it comes up a lot in dating that people have different perspectives on money, like different outlooks on it, different like levels of. Even if people can be from the exact same, like, can have the exact same financial situation and have totally different perspectives on money. Like, some people care about it so much, think about it constantly. Some people are a little bit more hands-off with it, or a little bit more like, you know what, I don't need to save, and whatever. There's, like, you know, I'm in my relationship, we have super different perspectives on money, and mm-hmm. it is like a thing. So we just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. And I remember even just going on dates, like, because Liza and I, you know, we had this production company that was great, but it was such a startup that like it wasn't really a startup that got funding. It was like us not always knowing where our money would be, not having health insurance in the same way other people do. Like, I don't know. I just, Liza also, you know, you had like edit gigs and very cool things, but I felt like at least when I started going on the dates, it was kind of as we were winding down chick stuff or the money stuff. And I was just like hobbling together different gigs because I knew I was going to business school or on that path. And I just kind of remember feeling like so much younger than my whatever 29 years of age. When did I start the pod? When did I start going on dates? It was 2017. I was 28.
It was like August 2017.
Yeah, wild. That's true. Okay, so maybe we were doing fine, but it's just different, like very different than other New York career path people. And I would get insecure about that sometimes. It wasn't like I couldn't pay for things. I wasn't at that level, but I feel like that happens a lot in New York too. Like people in cities where you're like doing different things, pursuing different things, dreaming. Like we get stories all the time about people like, I don't know, having dates just like not pay or
yeah,
not be able to pay.
We had a date. Like, we had a worst first date story about like someone who went on a first date who the whole time their date was mostly talking about how broke he was. And again, like I've been there, like I've been fucking broke. It's horrible. Like, but it's also like on a date, if that's the only topic of conversation, like he was talking about how he like couldn't buy food, like got his clothes at Salvation Army, like all of this stuff, which again, like it sucks. I'm not trying to talk shit about him, but like, it's not a topic for your first date. But obviously, that's my perspective. And yeah, many people have many perspectives. He has a lobster out there.
Yeah, no. Or just like, I'd like, if you're on a date with someone who's like the opposite and who you're like, shit, this person like is flashy or just is really successful. And even if they're not kind of like being flashy, like it's very apparent that they're like at a different stage in their lives than you are.
Yeah.
Or their life than you are. That's tricky too, I feel like. It's just like, I used to get really insecure around it. I also just like totally believe that as much as women are kind of the stereotypical gold digger, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I know there's a certain like type of East Coast man that I feel like almost gold digs harder than a woman. Loves yeah. marrying into money. Like, this is probably a stereotype because I went to like basic ass Boston College, but which was a great experience. No shade to BC. I love my school, but like, just like I think in certain circles that becomes a thing too. Like if you, what kind of family you come from and all, which is just murky. Like, it's even weird to talk about right now because I'm so don't want to offend anyone, but I'm just trying to be real because so often I feel like people think about it, you know, earlier than you think. Like, you might be thinking about it on a first date.
Yeah. And I think that, like, if even if we're not thinking about, like, dollars and cents, like, you're going to hear in the date with Robin, like, she goes into a situation where she is, like, shown a lot of, like, flashiness. Mm-hmm. And she was just kind of like, I don't know that this is, like, impressive to me in the way that this person thinks it's impressive to him. So that, I think, comes up a lot.
But then it's still, like, interesting and intriguing. Like, totally. You know, you find out someone founded a company or did whatever. Like, I'm always like, ooh, that's very cool. Like, you know.
It is, but also, like, anytime anyone has any showing off vibes, I don't like them. I think if you're showing off, you're insecure. The times I feel like I'm showing off, I know it's like a complete facet of my insecurity. Not that I have, like, so much to fucking show off, but whenever I'm, like, braggadocious about anything, I'm like, I am only doing this because I'm insecure.
That's fair. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And so, like, anybody who has to, like, swing their dick around or their metaphorical dick around, because women can do it too, and be like, look what I have, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
You don't like yourself. There's something about you that doesn't like yourself.
Well, I feel like, yeah, there's, like, that's what Raya is for. Only because, obviously, I was not on Raya, but, like, when I hear other dating podcasts talk about it, it sounds like a lot of, like, cool celebrities are like, I'm on it, but it's full of, like, very showy people. It's like a literal music slideshow. Which, remember when we had you guys comment with your, what songs you would put on your Raya on our review? That was fun.
Oh, some yeah. That was a while was ago. Very, yeah.
So if you still have those, you know, comment, rate, review the podcast and say, I would put, you know, the thong song as my flagship or whatever.
I wish I could remember what we picked. I think we both picked them at some point.
Yeah. I remember being silly about it.
Yeah, mine was probably pretty dumb. I think that, like, okay, what do you feel are practical tips when you realize you're on a date with someone who has, like, a much different perspective on money than you?
Yeah, from either direction, right? Like, whether they
yeah.
don't care about it all and you totally care about it, cause every or they do, or they're, like, showing, like, yeah. I think that it's such a weird – I'm a little old school. I feel like it's so weird to talk about money, which is why I can, like, easily think something's showing off or flashy. Totally on, you know, like,
totally.
Yeah. So I think that,
it's or tricky. The opposite of that, like, I just think money shouldn't be brought up. And even if people are, like, weirdly super into, like, very carefully splitting things, I'm just like, I'd rather just pay. I mean, I'm not talking about, like, a super blowout dinner, but if it's, like, drinks, I'm just like, I would much rather just, like, pay for everything than have a conversation about, like, well, I had two and you had one. Not that that usually happens on dates, because it doesn't. But, like, in life, I just feel like it's in – especially, like, in early stage dating.
Yeah.
It's – I feel like avoiding it on a first date is always the fucking way to go.
Yeah, always avoid it. And I guess you could, like, if you just get a weird vibe, like, you can still give that person a second chance. Like, I feel totally. Like unless it's, like, totally egregious, which I don't even think this date – it's just, like, a different world for me, which is – like, the date that Robin talks about was not – it's not like someone being – it's just someone who has a lot of success kind of showing that. But I'm sure people have been worse on first dates. I'm trying to think back. I just can't remember anyone being wildly weird about money or showy about money on a first date with me. But I think it's like just steer the conversation, avoid it. But like then I also think it's just okay to be human and be curious about another person's like where they're at in life. And I think it is okay if you're out with someone, if you're at a certain point in your life and you're out with someone who like is literally like, I can't afford these drinks. Can you pay for them? Or talking about how broke they are. Like, it's sweet and I feel for that person. But it's okay to also be at the point in your life where you're like, I kind of want someone who can do those things with me. Like, go on trips and stuff. Like, it's all tricky. Avoid it like the plague on the first date.
Totally.
And then money's always, I think it's always tricky. Like, day 13, I'm a student, makes so much more money than me. But I feel weird as a woman, like, always letting someone pay for things for me. You know, not that he does. But I can contribute, like, a really special dinner once in a while. But I can't contribute, like, and we just split a lot now, too. But, like, early on, I remember, like, we went on a trip to New Orleans. It was our first trip together. And he just, like, took care of the flights. And, like, there's no way I could have really made that happen at that time. Like, I could have, but just the way we did the trip. But then I paid for, like, a couple of really nice dinners. I don't know. And I thought that was really chivalrous. And, like, he makes real money. I didn't. And I was about to go to school. And
yeah,
I think that was the year of the terrible tax return. I owed a lot of money last year because of my own, like, lack of filling out the forms correctly. But we, you know, this year was fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because that's with my – the first ever, like – romance trip I ever went on was also to New Orleans, and he also like paid for everything. Like, he paid for the I think he paid for the flight and the hotel, and then we split dinner. Yeah. And I paid for one, like the one really nice dinner we went to, I paid for, but it was, he had a job and I didn't, like I was babysitting and I was 23 and whatever. But I think that it can be okay, and like that's happened with Jeff too, where he's taken me on trips that like I wouldn't, like, there have been times when I'm just like, I can't go on a trip. And he's like, then I'll just take you. And it's, you know, it's like, fine. But also, like, Jeff and I have had fights because he's also like, he'll want to split, like, small things. And I'm just like, let's just not, how about we just don't worry about this? Like, but it's truly, he's, like, very generous with me in terms of, like, like, he has gotten me very nice things and gifts and whatever, but then it's like these little things, but again it's just like a different perspective, and I've had to learn to like get on board with his a little bit, and he's had to learn to get on board with mine a little bit. Like he's been like, okay, cool, like I can loosen up a little bit, but also he's taught me to be like a little bit more careful than maybe I was being, which is also helpful. So I think sometimes like further down the road, the differences in perspective can be useful. Like, he taught me that I shouldn't just always have credit card debt. It's not, like, a great way to live. You know? Like, at some point, you should fully hit zero on your balance.
Yeah.
And oh, no, somebody had to tell me that.
I'm over here being like, but it's good to carry a small balance.
Literally. Like, well, yeah.
I think, okay, and I also think we're similar in that you and I will be like, yeah, we'll get the drinks for the whole bar.
Totally.
Don't worry about each Venmoing me $7. That's wild. Like, completely. We like to be like that. And that's totally fine when we're at good places and when in money and, like, depending on who we're hanging out with. But, like, it's funny because I do think, like, someone like Jeff who's maybe even wanting to split small things, I've encountered people who'd, like, split. I feel like even my brother will be more, like, calculate the math out after. He's
totally.
Very generous, too.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, they're both good at money, so like,
completely. And it's just like, and also part of, I mean, but I also think it's a little bit of a chicken or the egg thing, because part of, I think, the reason that these people are good at money is because they watch it carefully.
Yeah.
And they watch it carefully because they're good. It's like this feedback loop where with me I'm just like, whatever, it's gonna work itself out, throw it on the credit card, like think about it next month, like it's, and then it just, that's it, snowballs. But like, I think that overall, like, it can actually be good in like longer term relationships to have slightly different perspectives on money. My parents are like this too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad is like an obsessive saver, and my mom is a lot more just like, whatever.
Like, yeah. I mean,
and
that's ideal.
Yeah. And I think it can be a good thing, but in early stage dating, I think it's like, yeah, a matter of just like trying to be polite. But when you encounter what you're about to hear about from Robin, with this extreme flashiness and extreme showiness. I mean, I guess if that's your thing, then, like, fucking good for you. You found the thing. But
yeah, because it wasn't like they were, like, having a money weirdness. It was just, like, a flashy weirdness.
It was a showy offiness about, that's a word, about money.
Yes.
an ostentatiousness. That's maybe not, isn't a word either. Is ostentatiousness a word?
We're having a Sunday Monday, so it's a Monday right now, but it feels like we're both treating it like a Sunday, like not really using our brains. I just got back from New York. Liza just got back from a trip too.
I've had 3 glasses of wine, which is not a lot, but for me, I'm feeling.
Yeah, for a Sunday Monday, that's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, ostentatiousness is a word. So,
okay.
Fuck yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. How would you react confronted with that?
I don't know. I'd be kind of intrigued, to be really honest. Like, I think it's really cool, like when people, even if it's like not for me, and it's a lot, like it does feel like there's a tiny part of me who would totally be like, well, this is kind of a wild first date, but there's a part of me that is always like very attracted to and intrigued by success. So I don't know. Like there's a toss up. That said, I think I would have reacted exactly how she does. She just kind of goes along for the ride and like, yeah, it's a good, like, it's a first date on Valentine's Day. Kind of like going with a fuck it mindset anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so LA. It's so LA. I've never dated in LA. Well, I went on one, date number 5. Go back and listen to it. I think like I was like, geez. And like my friend is from LA, so she can hang with that. I think I would have been like, first of all, that guy is not taking me out on a date. But like if I were on a random date like that, I don't know. I think it would have just been like, this will be a fun story.
Totally. Yeah. Which, yeah, that's exactly how I think she treats it too, and which makes sense. All right. Should we?
We can play it. Yeah. We're being so annoying. We'll play it. Thank you so much again, Robin. And then separately from this, if you guys have any listener thoughts on money and ways about being, or you guys and girls, and or guys and women, you're women and men and everyone.
Humans, people,
I'm trying
folks.
So hard not to be so bad with saying guys all the time. But if you all have thoughts on kind of what we were talking about from any perspective, because I feel like that wasn't a super deep dive into the money stuff. And it's like, I hear myself being careful talking about it because I don't want to offend anybody.
We should do like a dedicated money episode, but we need you guys to like submit questions so that we don't like, I don't know, so that we're able to talk about it more specifically to what people's actual like questions are and confuse. I don't know.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Especially in early dating because
yeah,
it's always tricky. But there's not that much you can know unless your first date is like this one. Then you know a lot.
For sure. Okay. Well, here it is, guys.
Here it is. Today we're joined by a friend of mine from business school in LA, Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for being here. This is so fun. We haven't done like an LA date really yet. I don't think so.
I mean, I told I like bullied my way onto this podcast. I literally like I heard it. I think we were on a ski trip, Kimmy, and I was like, she somehow came up that she had this podcast. We were on long bus rides. I listened to the podcast, and then she was like sleeping on the bus, and I like whacked her in the head, and I was like, I'm going on this podcast. And that was like 2 months ago. And now here we are.
I love that because I feel like I'm just constantly bullying my friends to come on the podcast all the time. I'm like, we need a dater. Are you free on Monday? I don't care if you are. Come over.
I think I've just constantly been weird about it in business school. Like, I just, like, tried to keep it under the radar for so long. I told people about it, but, like, yeah. I feel like now I'm just, like, full own, and I'm glad you're here and on the podcast because it's also, like, I don't know. I'd love if we could talk a little bit about the dynamics of, like, dating while in business school because I imagine it's very challenging. Everything is challenging while in school, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we're back in high school.
Yep.
Literally, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's business. And like, let's say you've got somebody, it's like college also in the fact that like you can go out and hook up with someone and it's really fun and easy and available. But then you have to see them the next day and every day for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Like, and you can't just like hook up with someone and be done. So that's definitely a changed experience. And also there's like And I know it sounds stupid, but I think if you hook up with a boy, it's like you walk to school the next day and there are a gaggle of girls talking about you. Like, you're not imagining it in your head. I've been in the circle where we're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's like just, I know. And it's like, we're all like true adults here, but we're not at the same time. People go revert back to their college selves, I feel like.
Well, it's very social, right? Like, I feel like every friend I know who's in business school or who has been to business school is like, it's unlike college, I feel like the social stuff seems to be unbelievably important, which is very similar to high school. You know, like it's important.
Yeah, because I was like I went out a lot in college, but it's just different. And it's like smaller. That's the thing too.
Yeah.
You have 360 people.
We both went to big colleges. Yeah. Are a lot of people in your class like banging? And or dating?
Kind of.
Yeah. It was interesting to see like the first shakeout of people like breaking up with their people from their past lives. The turkey drop.
Have you heard about Black Monday?
Is that after Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Or the turkey drop, Black Monday. Or the thing that's like, it's just a crazy experience. I don't know if I should say this, but MBA, they say like married but available. Mm-hmm. It is like very dark in that sense. And that has sort of turned me off really to the dating scene at business school, just because like there are a lot of international students. You don't really know what their lives are like back home. You're not super informed on everything that's going on in their lives. And you just kind of, you're like, okay, you take the person at face value. But a lot of the times there's some shady biz going on for sure.
Yeah, it's tough when the girlfriend is like truly in another country or the boyfriend is truly in another country. I shouldn't, be too specific, but.
Let's not be specific.
Not at all. I don't know. There's also like some banging going on, and I bet there's way more banging than like we know about. I just like that you said banging, Liza.
As soon as that word came out of my mouth, I was like, why the fuck did I use the word bang?
No,
I haven't said that since I was 16. I'm clearly reverting back to high school from talking about high school.
Feels appropriate.
It just feels more
fun than like fucking and more adult than hooking up. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so funny. All my friends make fun of me because I can't handle the word fucking in the sense of like a verb. It feels like an attack to me, which is so crazy because everybody says it, but it's like you say someone like you say like fuck you, or you say like, oh, I'm gonna fuck her over. And I feel like that's what it sounds like when you say fucking, and I'm like,
no, totally.
Don't. There's but so then many other
hooking
options.
Totally. And like I feel like hooking up is too A, it's so juvenile, and B, it's not descriptive enough. Like I need to know, like, did you peck? I mean, that's nobody would say hooking up about pecking, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I need to know fucking details if I'm gonna, know anything. So, it is a struggle to find the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Fooling around sounds like my grandma.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, totally.
We're sleeping together. We're hooking up. We're dating-ish. I don't know.
We're just like having sex.
We're having sex.
Yeah.
People should actually say that more often than, especially like in those confusing situations.
Sex with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I hate when people
are also vague. Like to say, and like the intonation is important here, I like to be like fucking. Like it's not like fucking. It's not aggressive. But I'll be like, oh, like they're fucking. Like I say that a lot.
Playful. It's young.
Yeah.
It's young
cute,
while I'm three.
Right? I'm still in my early 30s. I'm still 30, whatever.
Yeah, you're still 30. Robin's younger than us.
Oh my God, you're just glowing with youth.
How can you tell? I hate that.
No, you can't tell.
No, not by like personality. I just mean like you're beautiful and young and glowing. We're old and crotchety and grandmas. Just kidding.
You look healthy and like I am crusty and cold and like have not left my apartment and,
I'm fresh out of my dance class, which is literally a Curves commercial. Like it's my favorite. It's church for me. I'm Jewish, but I imagine that's what church is like for people. It's literally like the room is colored in like teal. There are disco balls hanging from the ceiling. There are 75-year-old women that are big, small. There's like my mom's age. There's teenagers. Like, and you're just like packed into this room. We basically listen to Lady Gaga and lift weights for an hour and like jump around, and people are screaming and hollering. It's like, I truly believe that Outdoor Voices should pay them. Like, could you see Outdoor Voices launch their new like studio line or whatever? I'm obsessed with this stuff because
yeah,
whatever. And they They should just give outfits to everybody in that class and film it. It'd be the best ad ever. We're all like hands up, jumping, like all together, not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
It's church.
I want to go with you sometime.
I beg everybody.
I really want to go. I'm worried that I'm too cynical. I'll be like, oh my God, I'm too embarrassed of my own movement.
No, but it's not like other thing that I love about it is like you go to these other LA studios and it's like off-duty models who are negative 5 pounds and they're like, just dance. And they like, no, this perfect choreography by heart. And you're like, what? No, stop. And this is like, it's follow the leader. There's no choreography. Like you just do. And then if you like are doing whatever you want, nobody cares. And nobody, let me tell you, nobody looks like a model in that class.
Perfect.
And everybody like rolls out of class. Everybody like rolls out, no makeup. Everybody's hungover, except for the 75-year-olds. But they talk about their wild Mahjong games.
Robin, we should dive into your date. But actually, wait, first, do you have a worst first date?
I'm trying to think if I have a bad. I have a date that made me, it was a date night in college, and it made me break up with my boyfriend.
Okay.
Like that like night, like he was my boyfriend of 2 years and this date happened and I was just like, okay, bye. Like literally the next day we broke up. So I don't know if that counts, but it wasn't the first date.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just want to hear about it now.
Okay. So, oh God, I hope he never hears this. I was dating this boy from high school. We started dating in 11th grade and I was fresh off like a devastating heartbreak and I just needed somebody to love me and like I didn't even care who it was and I just like knew that he had a crush on me so I was like sure he'll do and then it ended up oh my God if he hears this I swear to God this is horrible.
You can think about it, we can always cut it out.
I'm like he stroked my ego. But so basically we were dating and then we ended up going to college together. And he, we had a date night at the end of the year. We'd had a really tumultuous relationship the first like night of college, whatever. I was a marketing rep for Rent the Runway at the time. And I had saved all my like Rent the Runway points to rent this like Hervé Léger tight fucking dress that was so expensive that I never would have bought. And I had it for one night and I was so excited and I put it on. And it was a little tight. I like had fun my freshman year. I was like a little
small. That's the point of those dresses anyway.
Yeah, we've all been freshmen in college before.
It was supposed to be tight. So him and his friend come to pick me up at my dorm room. Like they walk literally 7 steps to my door to pick me up. And I open the door and his friend looks at me and he goes, "You look like a baby prostitute." And I was like, Oh, I was like, it's not that I worked all semester to buy this fucking dress. And my boyfriend knew that. He knew. And he just stood there and said nothing, started hysterically laughing. So I was like, okay, we're off to a rough start. So then we get to, I went to Penn where we have like, they're called BYOs, where you like bring your own alcohol and you go to these really shitty restaurants and everybody just sits around and drinks like animals. It's crazy. And I remember we were at a table and I was like literally taking a million pictures in this dress. Like granted, I was being so annoying. Like I was like, I'm obsessed with this dress. Everybody take a picture with me, everybody. And he was like rolling his eyes, snickering about me, whatever. And then we were at dinner. We finally sat down and I was talking to someone, whatever. And he shushed me. Like I was talking to Robin, just shh. He goes, shh. I go, did you just shush me? And he was like, yeah. Like I was like, you shushed me. And he was like, yeah. I was like, okay. We broke up the next day. I was like, I never, ever, ever, ever. He made me feel like I was so excited for that night. Mm-hmm. He made me feel like such a piece of shit. Like literally, I was like, I saved all my points for this fucking dress. I showed up. I'm talking to my friends, having a good time. And he basically told me that I was like too much to handle and I need to shut the fuck up. And I was like, well, I never want to see you again. We're like good friends and he has a girlfriend and he's happy, whatever. But that was like the breaking point for me. I don't know if I want to add that in, but that was like, it's a very dumb story. When I say it out loud, I've actually never said it out loud, but it was a bad night.
No, it's not. I mean, I feel like if anyone I dated ever shushed me in front of another person
in public,
I knew.
In front of all your friends.
Yeah. Cause like, I'll be completely honest. I've shushed people I've dating alone. Like, I'm just like, you're just talking. Like I'm... And the same to me. Like, my boyfriend and I absolutely shush each other because we both talk all the fucking time. So, like, it's something that I've done at home where I'm like, shh, like, I need 5 minutes of quiet. Whatever. But if he ever shushed me in front of someone, I would break up with him tomorrow. And we've been together for 5 years and we live together. Like,
yeah.
I think it's fair.
Publicly shushed me.
And yeah. The shush just gets under my skin. I can't think of the last time someone shushed me. Like, I'm of the camp, like, that I'm very sensitive to the shush. So, Liza, even if you shushed me in our working, I'd be like, what? It would just feel
shh,
different.
Give me shh. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's wildly insecure. There's some,
no, it's the worst. So, like, it's horrible.
And I was like a 19-year-old girl who was, I was so excited for this night. It was my first sorority formal. I sound so dumb, whatever. No. I was so excited. I like had this dress on. And from the minute I got there, he just like continued to make me feel like shit the entire night.
That's horrible. All right. So Robin, tell us about this date you went on recently.
It was a first date on Valentine's Day. Yes.
Oh, that's God. The most important part.
Wow.
Literally, I texted Kimmy. I was like, I have the date. It's ready. I was like, my time has come. I'm going on a first date on Valentine's Day. I almost canceled, but I was like, no, I have to go on this podcast.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. How did it come about? Like, did you, like, who was the person to suggest Valentine's Day? I mean, obviously it wasn't like, let's go out on Valentine's Day, but, or was it? Tell me.
Okay, full disclosure, I kind of knew him, not in like a social way, but so I actually saw him for the first time. My mom is involved in this charity called Our House. It's a grief support group, but whatever. They have like a run every year, like a 5K. And I saw him there 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, who is that? I think he's so cute. And my mom was like, I have no idea. Ask this girl, this other girl. I asked her. I found out his name. I went full Magnum PI, like literally found every single person I knew in contact with him. And I was like, how do I meet this guy? I'm never attracted to anybody. I think he's so cute. I want to go on a date with him. So I find out that my boss at the company that I work for actually is friends with him. And I worked at a small startup at the time and it's a guy and we're good friends, whatever. So I just like showed up the next day, knocked on his door and I was like, hey, you know this guy. I see your mutual friends on every form of social media. Who is he? He's starting a company, super successful. He already had a successful exit. Like he's very startup-y, but I think right now he's super into this new venture that he's doing. And I don't think it's a good time for you to date him. Like, I think you're just going to take a backseat to everything else in his life. Don't go for it. Not now. And I was like, okay. So then fast forward a year later and I ended up going to, so, okay. I had a friend visiting from New York who was like, she's honestly my bougiest friend. Like she's the fanciest person I know. And we went to this place called San Vicente Bungalows, which is this new, it's like new age Soho house, like more exclusive. And I walked in there. I was like, I'm not fucking cool enough to be here. Like I saw like Nina Dobrev, all these famous people just like running around this place. They put a sticker on your phone so that you can't take pictures. And I was like, okay, I honestly hate this. Like I need to leave. So I said to my friends like, oh, I'm kind of tired. Like I'm going to go home. So I walk out and he is standing there outside the San Vicente Bungalows. And he was like, hi, because I think we had matched on a dating app at some point between like year two and year one and chatted for a little. And then I decided it wasn't worth my time. And we like had this back and forth, whatever. He still had my number from the time that we were on the dating app. And so we had this like flirty banter where he asked me, he was like, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? Like asking me like, what's the next stop? Cause we were at this very fancy place. So I was like, I'm going home to watch True Detective in my bed alone. But I was like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I get in my Uber. He goes, he said like, I can't watch True Detective. Like it's too scary for me or something like that. And I was like, I was like, really? He was like, yeah, it's a little scary. I was like, I think you'd be fine. Like, it's not that scary. And he was like, no, I can't watch that before bed. I was like, okay, whatever, teach their own. So I left. And then the next morning I woke up and I was like, you know what? Whatever. It's a year later. I think he's cute. I'm going to text him. So I texted him and I said, officially confirmed, it's not too scary. You should watch. Something like that. We had this great banter. Like it was so, the texting was like, it was like spark texting. And he had, I used to call it in high school, AIM game, like AIM game.
Yeah.
Completely.
AIM game.
I love that. Like hardcore. Like he was very responsive and his responses were witty and smart. And I was super down for it, whatever. And then I was boarding a plane. I can't remember where I was going. I think Denver or something. And I just texted him. I was like, ask me out. And he was like, what? I was like, we've been texting for so long. Just ask me out. I'll meet you for a drink. And he was like, okay. He was like, I thought I already did. I was like, but you didn't. You like mentioned like, but you didn't you hinted at potentially maybe we would see each other again in the wild, but I want to go on a date. Ask me out. And he was like, okay, how's Tuesday? And I said, fine, whatever. So something came up with my family and I had to cancel Tuesday. And then now we're at the week of Valentine's Day and we're like going over our schedule. And he was like, how about Thursday? And I responded being like, you know, that's Valentine's Day, right? And he was like, what better day to find love? Or said something hysterical like that. And I was like, okay, fine, down, let's do it. He was like, I have a bros dinner afterwards at 8:30. So let's get drinks at 7. And I was like, perfect. And if it's miserable, we have a perfect excuse to go our separate ways. Like I never have to see you again. He was like, great, perfect. So that's how it ended up on Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
It's a very long answer.
No, that's incredible. But also I feel like we have listeners email us or like message us a lot about the like getting into the texting back and forth forever trap. I feel like that's the fucking best way out.
It was four days. And he was texting me I would wake up to a text from her every morning. I would go to bed from a text. And I was like, you're not I don't want a pen pal.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I was like, I'm busy. I don't have time to fucking text you all day.
No, I literally think that's perfect because it's like so ballsy. It's so, but like also cute and flirty. Like I think it's such a good move.
It's just a good, like literally just send the text, no concept, ask me out.
Yeah.
Like, and because if they're texting you that much, they're obviously interested. And if they're not, if they're texting you that much and they're not interested, then they're like a sociopath and you should probably run.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. It's or they like just want that attention thing. Like, yeah, I think it's really good. I super respect that you were just like, ask me out. Like, listeners, try it. Give it a try. Okay, so before we get too far into this, I want to play Robin. You recorded a taxicab confession, so dedicated. I don't think anyone else does it anymore, and we forget to ask for it. So thank you. I'm going to play it now.
Okay, honestly, a pretty bizarre experience. It was a first date on Valentine's Day, so that kind of had a general weirdness to it, but we went to his house because we could not get a reservation anywhere. His house was impeccably decorated. Like, he definitely has better taste than I do and is very musical. Like, he had a piano and a guitar. He's super successful. Like, he's sold a company to Twitter, so he's like very classic tech bro, but doesn't watch sports, which makes me think that maybe he's a serial killer. But he was nice. I just think he was so awkward. He was so uncomfortable. But I don't know, something about me intrigued him, but he kept making really awkward, like, sexual jokes that did not land well. But I don't know. I found something about him endearing. So I don't know if I should go on a second date because he's definitely a douchebag, but I think he is the kind of douchebag that I can handle, if that makes sense, which just sounds crazy. I've had too much wine. I don't know. He's definitely weird, and I definitely, there were some red flags for sure, but I'm intrigued, and I don't know if I should go on a second date. Okay, that's all.
I mean, I'm just interested. I feel like this is a thing that happens a lot, not a lot, but like when the text, I've experienced this too, when like the text chemistry is great, and then you meet in person, and you're like, oh, none of this translated.
I don't understand. It made me so sad. It's so funny though. It's aim game. That's what it is. Like this is what I used to say about boys in high school who had, like when you say someone has aim game, it's usually mean they have exclusively aim game. Like they're great over text. They're great over AIM, but in person you're just like, what is going on? Like, is someone writing your messages for you? Are you Googling what to say? Like, how is this happening? I don't understand. Where did you go? Cause I feel like, and Kimmy knows cause we're friends. When I text, it sounds like I'm talking. Like, it's exactly, it's as scatterbrained, yes, as ADD, as like effusive as I always am through the phone.
Yeah, you do. You actually do sound like your texts.
And I feel like, interesting. So when you met, okay, so first of all, like just to get bullet points covered. So you met him at his house or at a bar?
We tried to make a reservation. Basically, he was like, we should go back to the scene of the crime, the Sam and Sandy bungalows. And I was like, I really don't want to go there. And he was like, no, I think it'll be funny, whatever. So finally I was like, okay, whatever. Then he texts me the day of being like, okay, everything's booked. And also I think a lot of people are going to be there. So that kind of, he's like, that's anxiety provoking for me. Great. Me too. I think that makes me so anxious. But he called me, which I thought was such a great sign before the date. Yeah. He was like, I'm in a meeting. Can I just call you when I get out? Sorry. Like, I basically, he was saying in a nice way, like, I don't have time to text back and forth about where we want to go. Like, let me just call you when I get out of here. Yeah. Great. So he called me. We had a totally normal phone conversation, which is what's so weird. He was exactly the same over the phone, like so great, so charismatic, was listening to me, like had a witty response for everything I said. And we were just like joking about the fact that like going out in public gives us social anxiety. So he was like, why don't you just come to my house? He was like, I'm not a serial killer. You know, we have friends in common. And also I have dinner at 8:30. So what's like so horrible that could happen? Like I'll pour us a glass of wine. We'll listen to some music. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. Full disclosure, my roommate was sitting on my bed, like listening to the whole thing, being like, you have to go, you have to go. So I was gonna be like, I'm not going to his house. Are you kidding me? It's the first date. No way. And she was like, whatever. It sounds harmless. It's a special circumstance. It's Valentine's Day. She believes in love, all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've met him before. Like there's too much. I'm not worried about your safety.
Charity event. Okay. Yeah. He was at the 5K. He's normal.
He was at the 5K.
He gives back to the community.
Okay, so what an interesting thing, though. I've never been on a first date at a house.
So, like, walk us through. Okay, so you get there, you walk in the door. Like, how soon do you realize the vibes are different?
Immediately. So my roommate drove me because she was like, if you're going to get murdered tonight and it's my fault, like I need to make sure that I know where you are so I can direct the police. And I was like, okay, great.
So cute.
So she drove me to my date, and it's like this, when I tell you, like, this is not a normal experience. Like I don't go on dates like this all the time. Like this guy it was so bizarre. His house was beautiful. It's in the Bird Streets of LA, which if you don't know, it's like the streets behind Chateau Marmont. It's like very, very bougie, like beyond. And she drops me at his door and literally all the lights are off in the house. It's like, looks like haunted. I'm like, what? I was like, there's literally not a single light on in the house. So I called him. I was like, are you home? Like, yeah, hello. And he was like, yeah, just come on in. And I was like, I don't even see a door. What do you mean just come on in? I was like, can you come down and get me? And he was like, yeah, whatever. So he comes, he opens the gate, he comes down and get me. And his body language is like literally like so stiff. I go in to give him a hug. He like doesn't really look me in the eye in a weird way, like no eye contact, like was not rude. I don't think I'd know, like he gave me a hug, but he was very stiff. So you walk in, he turns on the lights. And when I tell you this apartment, like I felt, I don't even know what TV show I was in. It was beautiful. Like apartment, it's a house. I'm like not used to going to a home. He had records on the wall and like impeccable rugs and everything was color coordinated and he had chandeliers and art fixtures and it was like a home, like not, like it was nicer than my parents' house. Like I was like, what, I don't, decorated to the nines, like every inch, like the opening, the table when you walked in had orchids and this like beautiful dish for your keys. And it, I feel like, I don't even know if I'm painting a picture of it. It looked like you were walking into, I'm trying to think of like a show or a movie. It was out of a movie. The first thing I said, I was like, oh my God, did you hire a decorator? And he was like, no. I was like, no, come on. I was like, a girlfriend must have decorated this apartment. Like there's no way that you did this by yourself. It's impeccable. And he was like, no, I like this stuff. And I was like, okay. Cool. Cool. So we had music playing because obviously the entire house is like full Sonos, high tech, everything. And he plays this, he starts putting on 80s music, like full 80s, only 80s. And he told me that he only listens to 80s music. That's the only music he listens to. And I was like, what's happening?
I'm not worried about you getting murdered now, even though I know that you didn't. I'm getting nervous.
I was like, am I going to come out alive? Like, he's like playing 80s music, not that looking at me.
Strange decade musically to devote your whole, I mean, obviously I love 80s music, but like the whole, that's it. Interesting.
So he goes, so I mean, me personally, I was like really attracted to the like aesthetic of the house. So I just started, like, I didn't ask permission. I just started walking around, like looking at shit. And he was like, do you want a tour? So I was like, yeah. I mean, yes. So we like start walking around, whatever. Everything's perfect. Then he takes me downstairs to his like guest room, and it has like bars on the windows, like literally, but it is beautiful. It was like very Spanish style, but it like
was kind of creepy. And he was like, let me show you something. And he opens the door and he shows me this like emerald green Porsche that he bought himself.
Oh my God.
When he sold his company, he was like, that's my fun car. And I was like,
This is so LA. Oh, sorry.
Three seconds. We've been in his house for literally 3 seconds. He's like, let me show you my fun car. It's a convertible. It's from like 1960 something. He was like, I just think it's like fun. He was like, if I'm going to be in LA, I might as well do it. Like, I want to live behind Chateau Marmont and have a convertible.
Where is he from originally?
I was like, you do it.
He must be from like Minnesota or something. I don't know.
No,
like,
he's from New York.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Weird. He's from New York. I was like, but the thing is that I literally made fun of him for everything. I literally said to him, I was like, you know that you're like a caricature of yourself right now. Mm-hmm. Like, guy sells company to tech giant, buys huge house in the Hollywood Hills, buys himself a Porsche, invites girl over to questionably murder her in his home. Like, I literally said to him, I was like, this is a narrative. And I was saying it to his face because Kimmy knows I have a filter problem, meaning I have none. So I literally just say the first thing that comes to my mind. And I was telling him the whole time, I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, are you kidding me with this house? Are you kidding me with how decorated it is? Are you kidding me with that fucking car? Like what am I supposed to say to this? And he was laughing and he was uncomfortable, but I think part of him loved it, but didn't know how to respond. And the fact that I think he's used to like these girls who are just obsessed with the fact that, like, once they see his street address, they're like, I'm gonna marry him. And I was just kind of like, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, do you need a hug? Like, someone didn't love you for you to need to do this. Like, for you to put, like, this is like a peacock feather show. Like, what's going on here?
So you like had wine at his house. Like, what were the steps of the date? And did Valentine's Day make it weird at all? Like, how did this shake out after the house tour?
So the house tour finishes and he's like, do you want a glass of wine? And I was like, yes, I would love one. We go into his kitchen and he has like a wine cellar fridge. Like, what else?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would be natural in this scenario. He opens the wine cellar fridge and pulls out, he's like, looks at three different bottles of wine, like before he selects one.
Oh my God.
If this was Palo Alto, it would be on Silicon Valley, like a scene from Silicon Valley or something like that. So tech bro.
I don't watch Silicon Valley, but I know that I literally felt like I was a bird's eye view watching myself go through this experience. Like, I can't even explain it to you. Okay, so he pours me the glass of wine. We're standing in the kitchen. There's very minimal eye contact happening. And the biggest thing that's keeping us in conversation is me just like mocking him in a playful way. Like, are you aware of how ridiculous this is? Mm-hmm. We get to the kitchen and I was like, of course you have a wine fridge. Like what else? It's like, do you have a tequila tasting bar downstairs exclusively Casamigos? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Or like, it's probably mezcal. Let's be real. It's probably just mezcal.
I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. So then he like, we're going into his living room and we have to take our shoes off. He like doesn't say we have to take our shoes off, but he like takes his shoes off. So I'm like, okay, like, should I take my shoes off? And he was like, you don't have to. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
So I took my shoes off. I was wearing this really cute dress and like boots that matched. And then I take off my shoes and I'm wearing these like bright blue polka dot socks that like really give me away. So I am wearing my socks. We're sitting and we take the glasses of wine into his, like, not his living room, not his family room, his like sitting area.
Oh, Jesus.
It ends up being like a full blown interview, kind of, like, in the sense that he starts telling me about this first company that he sold, now the next company that he's working on. I told him that I'm working on this underwear company. Okay. And we kind of had this like entrepreneur moment. And I know it sounds lame, but this was the first time that I was like attracted to him at the night, like in the night, because, and maybe this is a weird, now that I'm describing it, I feel like I'm making it sound awful, but I was intrigued by him. Like, in my confession where I say, like, I think I said like something, I messed it up because I had too much wine, like something about me intrigued him. That's not right. Something about him intrigued me. Like, I have no idea how he felt about me. It was impossible to read. He was literally stoic. I think like this like unavailability kind of tech bro serial killer, like what's going on behind that enormous wall and veil that you have built up, was to me, like, just psychoanalyzing, was definitely a challenge. Like, I wanted to break through it just to see what was on the other side. So I just tried I tried as many ways to get him to talk about something other than work for an hour and a half, and it did not work. The most bizarre experience. And we're leaving. I was like, it's getting time to leave. Cause I was like, don't you have dinner at 8 o'clock? And he was like, yeah, I probably should head to dinner. So he calls an Uber Black, obviously, and takes me back to my apartment, drops me off. It was Valentine's Day. I had no plans. My roommate and I were cooking together. We'd gone grocery shopping earlier, making like a big pasta feast. I'm kind of jealous that we're not cooking together for Valentine's Day, like said something cute like that. And I was like, yeah, me too, or something. And then he takes me, we got to my apartment, he like leans in, and I have a problem, like a physical problem, that I cannot kiss someone on a first date. Like, I just have never done it ever in my history of dating, and I've been on a lot of dates. Something about me like freezes at the end of the date, and it's so weird because I'm usually very casual and quite relaxed, but when it comes to kissing, I just can't, will not do it. So I gave him like a firm side hug, like kiss on the cheek, and got out of the car.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have, I mean, like, what percentage of you wants to see him again? What are your pro-con percentages? The farther away I've gotten
from it, the less I'm interested. But right after it happened, I was just fascinated by him because I'm so used to, like, I don't know, I'm so used to being able to size these guys up in one date or less. Like, in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, I know what you're about. I know what you're looking for. I know what I serve for you. I know I'm very analytical about dating, which is probably horrible, but I basically analyze the shit out of the guy in the first 10 minutes and I decide whether or not I'm interested. I have no idea whether or not I'm interested in him. And objectively on paper, he sounds awful, like that he's like so vain and money obsessed and obsessed with the scene. But part of me thinks that, like, I don't know, the fact that I don't give a shit about any of that could be like a funny match and just like a fun experience, even if he's not my boyfriend or not my forever person. Like, maybe it would be fun just to like have this fling with him to see what stories I could get out of it. And if it ends up turning into something real, then great. And if it doesn't, then whatever. It was fun and worth a try.
Also, not that this matters, but I feel like you would probably be good for him. Like, it would probably be good for him to date someone. Like, that's not why you should date someone. And that's absolutely, like, you know, not like a consideration for you. But I feel like he would be, it would help him maybe get knocked down a couple notches of like, this isn't like, we don't need to be like dick swinging our money all the time. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Like, okay, and also, if anyone does care, that means they suck. Like, if people are falling for that, if people are like, oh my God, you have an emerald green Porsche, like, let's get married. Cool. That means, like, that person sucks.
I actually want your guys' opinion. Like, I feel like I'm just sitting over here, like, spinning, you know, by myself. Like, am I crazy that I would be down to go on a second date with this person? Like, I literally just described him as a sociopath who was questioning going to murder me. So I'm like, why am I intrigued by him? But I was. I can't explain it. Like, it was something about him I wanted to like crack, and maybe there's like a lot to unpack there about me and what I want out of relationships right now. But I am like, I would.
I mean, yeah. I get it. I've been there. I think that, no, you're not at all. Oh my God, that long pause is lost. Okay. I totally get it. And I've also been that person that's like, I'm going to figure this out, whatever. I think that like, that's not the best position to put yourself in. You know what I mean? Like, I think it should be someone who you're fuck yes about and not someone who you feel like is a project or you have to change at all.
And I just feel like, I kind of feel like it's a ship sailing situation too. Only because, I don't know. I just feel like there's someone, it would be hard to like come from that much like you're kind of silly and ridiculous in certain ways and you don't realize it, even though incredibly successful, to like coming back around. Yeah.
I want to find love, and I think I'm like fucking around too much to find love.
I think that also
I'm
like
fun. It's so fun. It's so fun dating these people and having these stories. Like 2 years ago when I started dating, when I got out of a relationship, I took everything so seriously. I was like, this is my husband. Like, I literally would go on one date, and if we shared an inside joke, I was like trying my first name with his last name and like picturing our children and where our kids were going to go to school. That was me. Like, I would come home and I'd be like, do I like my name with his? Like, where would we live? Like, who would our friends be? Like, envisioning our entire life together. And now I'm just like, I'm immune to it because I've been going on so many dates that now I just think it's kind of fun. And like, if I meet someone Interesting. Amazing. I haven't yet. I haven't even met someone who I am like, I haven't had a fuck yes, as you guys put it, in the last 3.5 years. Like, not once. So it's definitely rare, but I'm trying to like have fun and make the most of this time while I have it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I feel like with the like second date thing, like in your taxi cab confession, you were kind of like, should I, shouldn't I? We usually are like, do it. I think if this was closer to the date too, and he like asked you out right away, I'd be like, just do it. Cause I don't think, I definitely didn't know that date 13 was like my person on the first date. Like I really didn't. Like it, I don't think I'm even myself on a first date, even when I got comfortable and was like much more myself on first dates. I just feel like you don't get a clear picture. Like you definitely know if someone's not your person, but you, I don't know. I feel like knowing that comes after like, I think a 2-date rule is good for just like anyone who asks you out again who you're kind of interested in. Thank you so much, Robin.
So fun. Yeah. I want to do it again and again and again.
You can totally come back as you continue on this dating journey.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin, again. That was fun. Tell us your LA dating stories.
Oh my God. Tell us your LA dating stories. Tell us your weird, ask us your weird money questions. And as always, go on a date.
Go on a date.